Back to Luke chapter 18. We'll take up where we left off last week. Verses 15 through 17 will be our text this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Word of God tells us, And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. In the previous verses of chapter 18, Jesus has been telling stories. We saw a few weeks ago, he told a story to his disciples. It was a parable about two people, a despicable judge and a desperate widow. And the point of that parable was that men ought always to pray. Our God is not like that despicable judge. Our God is our Heavenly Father, and we're not like that desperate widow. We're His children. And so in the difficult days, the times in which we live, as we look to the return of the Lord Jesus, as we're living in days like that of Noah and Lot, if we are to persevere, if we are not to faint, we must pray. So Jesus told that story to His disciples. And then last week we saw He told another story to some listening in. It was a story to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but they despised others. He told the story of a Pharisee and a publican that went up to the temple to pray. And He told that story to Pharisees and those like them who have fallen for the big lie. And the big lie is simply this: that good people get to go to heaven because they deserve it. Well, the gospel truth is this: bad people get to go to heaven by God's grace. Amen. Now, I find it fitting that the next thing we see here in this chapter is the account of the fact that people, parents, are bringing their children to Jesus, presenting their children to Jesus. Jesus always had time for the children. He was never too busy to touch them. He was never too bothered to spend time with them. In fact, in Mark's account of the gospel, it says he took them up into his arms and he blessed them. What a beautiful picture in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. And what a great and glorious truth that we see here this morning. I can't help but believe that when He took them up in His arms, He told them some stories as well. And this morning we want to think on this great, great truth. Jesus loves the little children. Let's go to the Lord. Father, what a joy to gather here in Your house this morning and to worship You. And we just thank You for Your presence here. Lord, we pray now as we've read Your Word that, Lord, You'd bless it. That God, You'd bless the preaching and the hearing of it. That, Lord, as Christian homes and families, we would be instructed today. We would be challenged today. We'd be comforted today. That, Lord, as people in need of Christ, that we would see many with a childlike faith come to know You as the Savior and Lord in their life. Lord, we just pray that Your Word would go forth, and we claim that promise that it will accomplish what You send it forth to do this morning. So Lord, cleanse our hearts and clear our minds. And Lord, as a messenger, hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Free me to preach Your Word. And Father, we just want to thank You right now for what You're going to accomplish in and through it. And God, to you be the glory and honor and praise, for you alone are worthy of our worship and adoration and praise today. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our choir sang it this morning in the call to worship. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Right here in our text this morning, we see that beautiful and that glorious truth. And we also find a record of this event in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 13 through 15, and in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. With those three accounts and those three gospel records, there's very little difference with them. Just a difference in a word or two here and there between all of these three gospel accounts. And yet the biggest difference we would find in those three accounts is the context. You see, as Matthew and Mark records this event, Jesus has been speaking to a crowd and He's been speaking about marriage and divorce and remarriage and singleness. I mean, there's a definite theme of family. Speaking to families and to homes and to marriage. In Luke's Gospel, we find here the theme has been the kingdom of God. He's been speaking to them about the kingdom of God and more importantly, this specific question of who belongs to the kingdom of God. We would ask, why the difference? Well, you know, I would suppose it could have been two different times, because I believe that all through the life and ministry of Jesus, there were many times that people brought their children to Jesus. But it could very well have been the same time. Could have been the same day. And Jesus, I believe, when He was speaking to crowds, He preached much truth and He proclaimed many truths. Perhaps that day He had a lot to say about the family and about the home, and as He was also speaking about the kingdom. You see, that's what's so wonderful about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what's so wonderful about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in giving us these four gospel accounts, because through the eyes of these writers and through the testimonies that Luke and Mark interviewed in writing these Gospels, what we have is a complete picture of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you see, just like today, even in this sanctuary, during this message, as the Word of God is proclaimed, some will leave here this morning and a truth will be impressed upon your heart in your life. That will be what God said to you, what God showed you. And then someone else will leave here today with an entirely different account of the message, something that God spoke to them about. And so right here in the Word of God, we find here in these accounts of this time in the life of Jesus, we see as Jesus, people were bringing children to Jesus, we find that Jesus was speaking about the home and family sometimes, and He was speaking about the kingdom. And so the great truth that we find here this morning is that Jesus loves the little children. And as we, as God's people, we must understand, just like Jesus loved and cared for those children, just as they are important to Him and He cared for them, that they should be very precious and very important to us. That as families we should love the little children that God has blessed us with. That as church families we should love the children that God has blessed this church family with. That just as Jesus saw them as precious and considered them a part of His kingdom, that we would understand and should understand the importance of children in the kingdom of God as well. See, Jesus, He's been speaking to them about the kingdom of God. He's been speaking to them about it's a spiritual kingdom. The Pharisees demanded when it would come. He had to straighten them out. It's already here. It's a spiritual kingdom. I rule and reign in the hearts of those who recognize Me as the Son of God and the Messiah and Savior of sinners. He spoke to His disciples about there is an earthly kingdom coming. He is coming to this world to judge sinners and to judge the world of sinners and to establish His earthly kingdom. And His kingdom will be an eternal kingdom. But the emphasis, it's all been brought down to this one question. Who's going to be a part of that kingdom when He comes? Who belongs to the kingdom of God right now? Jesus has addressed that in the previous text, in the previous story. Those like the Pharisees, those that are trusting in themselves that they're righteous, they're not going to be in the kingdom of God. They're not a part of the kingdom of God. It's those like the publican. It's those that have humbled themselves. Those who recognize their sin in need of grace and who call out to God for mercy. Those are the ones who belong to the kingdom of God. And so now in Luke's gospel, now we come to this place where the people are now bringing children to Jesus. And right now, in just this few verses, we see children and the kingdom of God. And we see Jesus' love and care for them and their place in the kingdom of God. And so this morning, I believe God has something to speak to us. He has something to speak to us as families, as homes, as parents, Christian parents, about our children. But He also has something to speak to all of us today about being a part of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice here this morning, look in just these few verses and in our text, I want you to see what it has to say to us. First of all, about the importance of presenting children to Jesus. Look what it said there in the beginning of our text. And they brought unto Him also infants that He would touch them. Now, these are parents, moms and dads, apparently bringing their children, their infants. The word means a little child. It means not just a baby that's held in the arms, but it literally refers to unweaned children. And in those days, it took them a longer time to wean them. And so we're talking about little children, those that have to be carried, those that can probably just have learned to walk, that are coming with their parents. And they bring Him to Jesus. They present Him to Jesus so that He might touch them. Now we must understand in those days it was not uncommon for parents to do that. They would bring their children to rabbis. They would bring them to spiritual leaders and teachers, and they would ask them to touch them, to bless them, to pray over them. And as I was studying this past week, I found that many times those rabbis, they would pray a prayer like this. They would touch that little child and they would pray over it and they would say, Lord, we pray that this child will be famous in the law of Moses. That this child will become faithful in their marriage, in their home. And that this child will be living in obedience to the law of Moses and to the law of God. Why would those parents bring their children to rabbis? And why would those rabbis pray such a prayer like that over their children? Well, I'll tell you why. It was because those parents and those rabbis, what they were praying was that those children would gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, we come to realize last week that's how they understood salvation. You know the law of Moses. You found your home on it and you live in obedience to it. They were looking to their merits, to their works, to their keeping of the law to save them. That was a big lie. No man has ever been saved by his good works because he cannot be holy. He cannot attain to the righteousness of a holy God. But that's how they understood it. And the bottom line is their heart's desire was that their children would gain entrance into the kingdom of God. I commend them for that. And I would declare this morning, that should be the desire of every Christian parent here today. It ought to be the desire of every parent, of every home where God blesses them with children. Our one heart's desire and passion should be to see our children gain entrance into the kingdom of God, to know Jesus and to live for Him and to serve Him. Amen. One of my favorite Psalms in the Word of God is Psalms 127. And what a glorious truth it tells us in verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are literally gifts of God. He gives them to us. And when we have acknowledged that great gift, our first and greatest heart's desire should be to lead them back to God, to give them back to God, that they might know Him in His salvation. What a tragedy in our nation today. Through abortion, these gifts that God has given us, they are being trashed, they are being murdered, they are being ripped apart in the wombs of their mothers. It is a great tragedy, but I find there's even a greater tragedy that's occurring even in the church today, and that is where Christian homes and families are being blessed with children, and yet with their lips and with their lifestyles, they are literally keeping children from coming to Christ rather than seeking to give them to Christ, to present them to Christ. Their lips, their lives, their actions, their attitudes are literally keeping them from Christ. These parents brought these children to Jesus. They wanted Him to touch them. They wanted His truth to be impressed upon them. That should be our heart's desire, folks, for every child that God blesses us with in individual families and as a church family today. For every child that comes across these facilities and across these grounds, there should be a desire of our heart to present them to Jesus, that they might experience His touch in their life and their hearts and lives be filled with His truth. These parents realized the touch of Jesus made a difference. His touch was cleansing lepers. It was giving sight to the blind. It was raising the dead. His touch was literally multiplying loaves and fishes and feeding multitudes of people. Here are some parents who realized that our children need the touch of Jesus in their life. Folks, do we understand that? Do we recognize that today as Christian parents? We worry ourselves to death and we work ourselves to death trying to make sure they have food, they have clothes, they get to go to college, they have cars, and they have careers. But do we really concern ourselves with what our children need more than college, career, cars? What they need is Christ. They need to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Listen, my heart's desire is to do everything I can to care for my three children. But the older I get and the older they get, the more I come to realize I'm not going to be here forever. And what they need more than my money, what they need more than mansions, what they need is the touch of the Master in their life. Because when I'm dead and gone, He's still on the throne and He'll still feed them when they're hungry. He'll still clothe them when they're in need of clothes. He'll still care for them when Obamacare and everything's falling apart in America and there's no jobs. My Jesus will still be on the throne caring for my children, because I've been young and I've been old and I've not seen the righteous children begging for bread because of Jesus and their relationship with God. What our children need is a touch of Jesus. And if we want them to have the touch of Jesus, we got to instill the truth of Jesus into them. Any parent would agree this morning that children, while they're born in sin, they're innocent. And they're receptive. And they believe the truth when the truth is instilled in them. How sad today that precious children in supposedly Christian homes, the only thing they learn at home is how to cuss. The only thing they learn at home is how to drink. The only thing they learn at home is how to argue and fight. The only thing they learn at home is how to do drugs. How sad it is that our children today are being taught these things in the young ages of their life. How sad that many are looking and seeing pornography on the TVs in their homes that their parents are sitting and watching. How sad it is that these children whose minds are so innocent are being filled with the filth and the junk of this world rather than being filled with the truth of God and His love and His Word. We must fill their minds and instill in their minds and their hearts the truth. Because you know what? They believe it. They receive it. They've not reached that age to where that sinful will is attacking their conscience. And their rebellious spirit is rising to the surface. And they begin to reject authority. And they begin to reject truth. No, they're at that innocent age in life where when they hear truth, they believe it. That's the best time, folks, to put it in them. That's the best time to pour it in them. We begin to evangelize our children the day they go, "Wah!" when they're born. That's when you start. If you want to keep them out of the electric chair, you got to start when they're in the high chair. You got to fill their hearts and their minds with the truth of God's Word, because at that age they receive it. They accept it and believe it. Folks, I've been in the ministry over 25 years, and I've had some doozies of a conversation with adults talking about Jonah and the whale, that being an allegory and not a true event, and no way that could be possible. A man could be swallowed by a whale, but I have yet to sit down before a precious 2, 3, or 4-year-old child and have to argue with them about whether or not Jonah was swallowed by a whale, because when they're taught the truth, they believe the truth. Kind of like the little boy who came home from Sunday school one day. He's riding in the car and he was holding his side. And Mom said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "My side is hurting, Mom." She said, "Well, why? What's wrong? Why is your side hurting?" He said, "Well, I'm not really sure, but my Sunday school teacher told me today about God creating Adam and then creating Eve. And I'm scared, Mama. I must be fixing to have a wife." When they come into this world, we need to pour the truth in them. We need to instill that truth in them. Parents, this morning, let me say something to you with all the love that I can as your pastor. The number one primary responsibility for leading and presenting your children to Jesus falls upon you, Mom and Dad. Amen. Not this church. If the truth is not taught in the home, it'll never be caught at the church. Praise God for the church. And I believe, church, let me say this to you. There's families in this community where moms and dads don't know Jesus, don't care about Jesus, and don't care about their children. But if we can get them through the doors at a fall festival, if we can get them to come to church for a children's church ministry, a program, God has given us the second round. God has given us the second opportunity. We're the only thing standing between those precious children and being lost and dying in a devil's hell forever when they grow up and reach the age of accountability. And God has placed us here in this community to assist every Christian mom and dad in confirming the truth and to step in the place of every mom and dad that's not doing it and instilling the truth that they can come to know Jesus and have their lives forever changed. We're here to present children to Jesus. But now I want you to notice something else here in our text. This text not only has some words of wisdom about presenting our children to Jesus, but it has some words of warning about preventing our children from coming to Jesus. Notice what it went on to say in that very same verse. "But when His disciples saw it, they rebuked them." How strange that we would find disciples of Jesus rebuking parents that were bringing their children to Jesus. That word rebuke is a very strong word. It means... it's the same word that Jesus used when He rebuked the winds in the storm and the waves. It's the same word He used when He rebuked the demons and the devils and cast them out of people. Here is the disciples of the Lord Jesus rebuking parents who are trying to present their children to Jesus. Mark's gospel tells us that when Jesus saw it and heard it, he was much displeased. That word literally means Jesus got angry. He got hot. He displayed a righteous indignation. He didn't throw a selfish temper tantrum. He was much displeased when his disciples, who were supposed to have his compassion and who were going to be delivered his commission, prevented children from being brought to him. This morning I would also declare this, Christian parents, we are disciples of Jesus. Woe be to us if we have not the compassion of Christ for our children and if we do not recognize the commission we have as Christian parents. We're not here to prevent children from coming to Jesus. Think about the compassion we should have as parents. Here's these disciples. What are they thinking? Jesus is too tired. He's too weary. He's too busy. These children are just not that important. They're taking up his time. They're hindering him. I mean, what are they thinking? Well, the only thing we know for sure is that in Matthew 14, they wanted to send the crowds away hungry, and Jesus wanted to feed them with a miracle. In chapter 15, they wanted to keep a Canaanite woman from coming to Jesus, and Jesus answered her prayer for her daughter. They lack compassion. And the only thing I see that's stranger than disciples who would keep these children from Jesus is how many times Christian homes and families and parents would keep their children from Jesus by preventing them from being in God's house on God's day to hear God's word. Amen. Only thing that I see is so strange in my mind and my heart is how we'll bring them to church to hear what thus saith the word of God, and then we take them home and live in direct disobedience to everything the preacher or the teacher has had to proclaim, and yet we expect our children to get it, to know Jesus. We come to church and we read the Bible about home and marriage and family, and then we go home to live like the world, and we wonder why our children are growing up living in sexual sin and immorality, facing addictions, because we have prevented them from coming to Christ. We have stood in their way. We have thought more about their being in school and more about they excelling on the ball field than what happens in Sunday morning Bible study and worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We send them out into the world with their scholarships to play their ball. But when it comes to the day they stand before Jesus, they'll be lost as a ball in high grass. Because the priority of our life has been to give them everything except Christ. Because many do not even have Christ to start with. Church is ritual. It's routine. We just go because we've always go. Listen, lest you think I'm the one doing the talking here this morning, let me remind you of Luke 17:2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. We must not only think of our compassion, but our commission as parents. It's not just a matter of compassion. We have a commission. Listen, one of the greatest truths, one of the greatest things that needs to be visited in the church today and needs to be preached today and is no longer popular today is what God's Word has to teach about the home and about marriage. Divorce and adultery is literally destroying the homes, not just in the world, but in the church today. And children are being prevented from coming to Christ because they're not seeing the gospel between mom and dad, which is why God gave us marriage, what it's intended to show us, Christ and His church, the covenant relationship with God that we will never lose. You know why marriage's death do us part? Because the only time a Christian will ever be lost is if Jesus dies. And I'm here to tell you, He ever lives to make intercession for His people. people. And when you come to a relationship with God, if you get Jesus, if you get saved, you in that thing till He takes you home. And every home ought to be a picture of that to this world. And yet the church today fails to see and recognize what God's Word says about the home. There's too much here for me to spend time there. But I would say this, there's some purposes of marriage. Partnership and pleasure. They're all God's gifts and they all are within the boundary of marriage. But there's a third purpose. Procreation. And in marriage, we're to make babies. And you know why we're to make babies? Because then we're to make disciples of them. You need only to go back to Psalms 127. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know why God gives us the gift of children? Their quiver, their arrows in our quiver. You know what we're supposed to do? Present them to Jesus. Lead them to Jesus. And when they get old, we release them into the world. And when we release them as children of God, disciples of Christ, to go stand in the world for truth, to go have homes and marriages, to stand for the truth. But you know what's happening today? We're sending them into the world, and they're just like the world, and they love the world because that's all they've ever had in their homes. Woe be to those who would prevent their children from coming to Jesus. I dare say the reason our nation is in such a mess today is because we have become good at making babies. We make them before we even get married. But we're not good at making disciples. And that's why God gives us children. That we would present them to Jesus and not prevent them. Thirdly, I want you to notice in our text this morning what it has to say about permitting children to come to Jesus. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He said, suffer them. You know what it means? Permit them. Don't forbid them. Permit them. For such is the kingdom of God. Here's these parents trying to present them. Here's the disciples preventing them. And Jesus speaks and says, permit them. Don't forbid them. For such is the kingdom of God. He called unto them and He cares for them. Two great truths we need to see before we're done this morning when it comes to permitting our children to come to Jesus. When He calls them, we better permit them to come. The parents were presenting them. The disciples were preventing them. Jesus called them unto Him. Just let them come. I think of the story in the Old Testament of Hannah who prayed that God would bless her with a child. God opened her womb and gave her a child by the name of Samuel. And just as she had prayed and pledged to the Lord, she gave him back to the Lord. She presented him to the Lord. She took him when he was weaned and gave him to the priest there, and he was raised there in the temple of God. He was presented to the Lord. And I think of Eli, that great priest who as he was training Samuel, that night came when God began to speak to Samuel, and he thought it was Eli, and so he ran to Eli, and Eli said, "No, I didn't call for you." And after several times, Eli began to realize, hey, God's calling this boy. And he said, "Samuel, the next time you hear the call, you just tell him, 'Speak, your servant hears you.'" And so rather than prevent Samuel from answering the call, Eli permitted him to answer that call. And you know the story of what a great man of God Samuel became, the judge over Israel, and how God used him mightily. You see, he had a mom that presented him to the Lord. He had a priest, a spiritual leader that permitted him to come to the Lord. Folks, we're to present them to Jesus. We're to do everything that we can to live Jesus and pour the truth in them. And then when they hear the call, when they begin to come to us and talk about needing forgiveness and what Jesus did on the cross, rather than prevent them, that's time to permit them to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But there's one other truth here. He not only calls them and we got to permit them to come, but He cares for them. And we must permit them to come. Folks, this morning, I'm going to brush across a very difficult and hard truth. But it's right here in our text. Jesus loves little children, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying much more here than meets the ear. As you look and you think of what Jesus is speaking about, remember, He's been talking to them about the kingdom. Who belongs to the kingdom? Well, it's not those that are proud and trusting in themselves and their human achievement. It's those who humble and recognize their sin and in faith cry out to God. These are such as the kingdom. He looks at these children and He says, for such are the kingdom of God. Those in this category, they belong to the kingdom of God. They're little children. You know why? Because they haven't achieved anything. They don't know the Bible yet. They don't know right from wrong yet. They're precious little children. They don't know their right arm from their left arm. Yes, they're born in sin. Yes, they're facing the righteous wrath of a holy God. But until they reach that age of accountability where they recognize they're wrong and they're deserving of their punishment and they're facing their accountability before a holy God, before they reach that moment, these children are just little children in the care of Jesus, who are a part of His kingdom. They are not looking to themselves. They just look to God and look to the Word and the truth of God, and they're a part of His kingdom. What does that have to do, Pastor, with permitting children to come to Jesus? It has everything to do with it. When He's calling them at the age of accountability, when He's calling them to repentance and saving faith, we better let them come. But when that tragedy comes, when that valley of the shadow of death comes, and that child is called to Jesus from our arms, from our wombs, when He's called, we must permit Him to come, for such is of the kingdom of God. They're in His arms. They're in heaven forever in the kingdom of God, because they've not yet come to understand their sin and their need of a Savior. And it's the hardest thing any parent will ever have to do, is to permit that child to come. But oh, what a glorious truth. Jesus loves the little children. And of such is the kingdom of God. In His care, in His arms, forever. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Parents today, we're to present them to Jesus. Woe be if we prevent them from coming to Jesus. And may our heart's desire and passion be for that day where we permit them to pray that prayer, to surrender their life, to trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and to know that their heart and their soul is right with God, because they had a parent and they had a church family that loved them so much, loved them just as much and like Jesus loved them. But Jesus had something else to say through this. He spoke to not just the parents in the crowd, but to the Pharisees and to the disciples and to the people. And He said this, verse 17, verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. If you would become a part of the kingdom of God today, if you would belong to His kingdom, you must not be like the Pharisee, proud of your merits, trusting in your good works. You must be like the publican who prayed, who pled for mercy, who smote his breast, as we saw last week, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For those who come to Jesus in a childlike faith, recognizing their sin and trusting in Jesus as their Savior, they enter the kingdom of God. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power, authority, the right to become the children of God. If we would come to Jesus this morning, there's only one way to come in childlike faith: repentance of your sin. Let's go to the Lord.